just say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
And welcome to St. John Forward Radio. I'm your host, John Forward. We're pre-recording on a beautiful sunny Saturday afternoon here at local FM. I've got a special guest with me this week, so I was going to spare him having to sit through a 10-minute monologue about me getting into a fight with my 22-year-old boss last summer. But so I was just going to skip it, but I've had some bad experiences that I've got to get off my chest. It's just you may recall if you're a regular listener, about a month or so ago we had some mishap at our house. Some young hooligans stole somebody's car from KV and took it on a joyride, which ended when they drove across our lawn and crashed into my deck, and then took off down the hill in the middle of the night on a Sunday night. I think when we talked about it, it was the day after, and I haven't referred back to it then. They did catch the person that did it, but it turns out that that the car owner's insurance doesn't cover that, which I found odd. When I asked the insurance company about it, they said, well, if somebody stole a shovel from you and beat someone to death, then you wouldn't be held accountable for it, which kind of makes sense, but it still sucks. I do have house insurance, but I've got a $1,000 deductible, so they, I was going to say they came out and looked at the damage, but nobody bothered to come after 2 weeks of asking the insurance company, hey, what's going on? They just looked at the pictures that I sent and came up with an estimate, which was about $967, which is less than what my deductible is. So too bad, John Forward, you've got to fix your own deck. Justice system at work. And it's not going to actually cost me $967. I'll probably just do some kind of half-assed self-repair. The post is kind of still there. My dad looked at it yesterday, actually, and said that I could just get a sledgehammer and kind of pound the bottom stone footholder back into place to straighten out that post, and then just put a second one right next to it so I don't need to take apart my whole deck. So that's going to be a project for the future. But still, crime-ridden St. John, New Brunswick, just another victim here. And then last night, I had No Jokes Bar Deluxe at O'Leary's. We had a good time. I didn't do so great, but everybody else did. Small audience, but still had a fun time. After the show was done, kind of stuck around, talked to some people, and then threw my book bag in the car and made my way over to the Five and Dime to meet up with some other people for a little bit. Came back to my car and realized, once we got home and unpacking the car and realized that my book bag was not in the back seat, and I was 100% sure that I had put it in the car, but it was just not there. We drove back to the parking lot just to see, checked in the bar. I did not leave it there, so I think when I threw my book bag in the car, I forgot to lock the door. So somebody helped themselves to my book bag. I saw, when we were looking around, we saw some shoes thrown aside. I found another empty book bag and a bra in the bushes with some other clothes. So somebody made the rounds in the parking lot. So it was a nice little book bag. I bought it specifically, like, it's small and it can go to comedy shows. I had my little Bose speaker, which I used every single day, which is a big, I can get a new one, but it's kind of a pain in the ass. I listen to podcasts in the morning when I'm in the shower and when I'm having my breakfast, or anytime that I'm cooking a meal or washing the dishes or whatever. I use that little speaker all the time, and it was gone. I brought it with me to the show because I had a, if you saw my Honey Garlic one-man show last year, I did my my Taco Bell sister bit, which includes a real-life voicemail from my sister. I was going to play it through the little speaker, but I could just hold my phone up to the microphone, and it worked, so I didn't even need it. So that's gone. I had a notebook for jokes. Like, I do all my writing in Google Docs, so I didn't lose anything. That's mostly just kind of my live notebook if I need to bring something up with me on stage. So, not the end of the world. It's going to be an interesting read for whoever finds it, out of context. My megaphone was in there that I used to harass people on the street before the O'Leary show. It never works, but I have a fun time doing some street crowd work. I got more laughs on the street last night than I think I got in the show. But that's gone. What else was in there? My little alarm clock that I have for the show to keep track of time. That's not a huge loss, but that was in there. I have my little man bag that May made me out of my old They Live t-shirt, and it's got some sweet pins on it that I'll never get back. I had a little, my old fabric, like polyester Evolve artist bracelet from when I did the Evolve Festival years ago that I kind of kept as a keepsake on the strap. And inside the bag I had a flask of Wild Turkey, which is replaceable but unfortunate. I had a little pouch of pipe tobacco and a wooden pipe that I occasionally dip into if I want to look like an ultra super hipster. And also had my little marijuana paraphernalia pouch in there. So I lost my tobacco pipe, I lost my two marijuana pipes, and all my little devices in there. A little bit of pot, but I'm not too worried about that. But just I'm going to have to go shopping this afternoon because I've got implements in there that I can't do without. I need a speaker, and I need a pipe. And that's what I need in the world. I called the police and told them that that the stuff I left out the paraphernalia part when I was describing the contents of it. If they do find my stuff, they know who I am. Hopefully, they don't get mad about the paraphernalia that's in there. It's almost legal. Come on, guys. But I guess I was going to say that if they did give me grief about it, I'll just say, I don't know, these thieves must have planted that in there. It's not mine, but now I'm talking about it on the radio, so I'm incriminating myself right now. But maybe I'll hang on to this episode for a couple of weeks, just in case. I'm going to be going away to Montreal later this month, and I need a pre-record anyway, so I've already got this one in the bag. I was going to play it on Monday, but might as well do her live and save this one so I don't need to make another pre-record. But just a rough time all around, and I got my guest here, should I call you Freddie G or
Freddie G?
Frederick Goldstein.
It's fun for you to say that. Yeah, Frederick Goldstein. Yeah, it's funny.
Like this in New York.
It's we crazy. Do. We have. Yeah, my phone was stolen on the subway a little bit. If the guys out there listening to St. John Ford Radio, I'm gonna get you. I don't know a lot about St. John, but this to me seems like the St. John crime of the century.
It is.
I am really a man's backpack. I'm a big backpack guy. It's like you're stealing part of the person to steal a man's backpack. I understand what they should have done is taken the weed and maybe the speaker, but Leave him his personal stuff and his backpack. I'll have my backpack break and I'll immediately have to run and buy another one. It's like so important to me.
Right.
Because I live in New York, I live like there could be another 9/11 at any moment. So I have, I got backup antidepressants for a few days. I have backup cell phone battery. I live always ready. And I have like ham. I always carry sliced ham in my bag for a couple of days. I'm always ready for some kind of 9/11 or apocalypse. And if you steal my backpack. Okay, yeah. Well,
living in New York, you probably know better than to leave your car doors unlocked with stuff sitting on the back seat out in the open.
In New York, we can't afford cars or doors, so it is a problem.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Freddie G. But it's a cold world out there, people. So let's hear what the Jizz's take on that whole thing.
On St. I had a bad dream.
Don't be afraid.
bad dreams are only dreams. What a time you chose to be born.
It was the night before New Year's, and all through the fucking projects, not a handgun was silent, not even a tech. Outsiders were stuck by enemies who put fear and blasted on the spot before the pigs were dead. You know, hoods robbing, snipers, new in sight. Fuck blue and white, they escaped before them flashed the fucking lights. Gunshots shatter first floor window panes. Shells hit the ground and blood stained the dice game. Weather broke calisthenic, any style you said it. Beat niggas toothless, physically cut up like gooses. But with iron on the side, thugs took no excuses. Therefore, your 52 hand blocks is useless. Links were snatched off necks, scars on throats. Jackets took after bullet rips through coats. Against those who felt the cold from the steel, made him fold and squeal. Once the metal hit the temple of his grill, construction worker who was caught for his bomber. No time to swing the hammer that was hanging from his farmers. In his bug, how some niggas catch slugs and pockets dug from everything except check stubs. And it does sound ill like wars in Brownsville, or fatal robberies in Red Hook with feds luck for fugitives to shoot cops. Niggas laying on rooftops for his cream, he stashed in a shoebox. But he was hot and the strip was filled with young killers you don't suspect. So cops creep like caterpillars and born thieves, they hooded with extra bullets. Those who try to flee, they hit the vertebrae, increase the murder rate. Similar to hitmen who pull out techs and then drop those crack like tacos from Mexican. Rapping like recipients casting checks again, back to the motherfucking spot on Lexington. Time to freeze, undercovers ease up and grand freeze and seize packages and pocket the currency. Clicks control strips, full clips to spray. Yellow tape barricades, sidewalks for bodies laid. Madness strikes at 12 o'clock midnight. Stick up kids on the ground, rope the staircase light. And I stay as harassed, scrambling for petty cash. Jake's on my ass, young bucks is learning fast. 357s and 44s, brought inside corner stores, provide sparks for wars. Hospital floor surrounded by the law. Homicide questioning while it takes guard the door. My hood stay tense, loyalty puts strength in my team. Cause niggas make concerns cream. Some niggas in the jet black galant. Shout out the Chinese restaurant for this kid named Lamont. I thought he was dead, but instead he missed a kid and hit a 12-year-old girl in the head and then fled. Tactical narcotic task force, back off fast. Cause the crime boss is passing off cash. Extortions for bosses, the streets causes beef. Having followers of Indians trying to play cheap. You witness the saga, casualties and drama. Life is a script, I'm not an actor but the author of a modern day opera. We're the main character, it's presidential papers, the dominant factor.
It's a cold, cold world here in St. John, New Brunswick, but to try to warm up our hearts a little bit, I'm here with my special guest. He's in town for the weekend doing the Yuck Yucks, and I managed to steal him away for a little bit for No Jokes Bar Deluxe last night. Freddie G.
Oh, so happy to be here.
In St. John. How are you enjoying your time?
I'm liking
in St.
it now.
John so far?
I did during the break move my backpack closer to me because I know how crime ridden this is.
Yeah, it's a pretty terrifying place to be. I took you through the boulevards, which is the rough part of town, but even when I picture it as the rough part of town, but when I'm driving around with somebody showing it and there's like a nice splash pad and a playground, and
yeah, there was
everybody
a new
seemed
playground.
Like a good time. It probably wasn't that rough looking.
I didn't think anyone there actually committed crimes, but they were all thinking about taking my backpack, so I was a little paranoid.
Yeah, they could see it through the window. They were ready to pounce.
Oh, God, yeah, I'm ready with all that ham. I had a pound of ham with me, too, so...
Right.
Yeah, I'm loving this area, though. This is great.
So what brings you this way? So do you live right in New York City?
Yeah, I live in Astoria, Queens. So Queens where a lot of famous, like Jerry Seinfeld or, it's where the King of Queens takes place with Kevin James. Okay. I think that's our claim to fame. A lot of comics. We don't live in Manhattan proper. It's pretty expensive. So people live either in Queens or Brooklyn, and I live in Queens.
Right.
I'm from Queens originally too.
Right. So what brings you out this way?
I was I met a bunch of Canadian headliners in New York, and they recommended that I check out Yucks. And then they said a good place to do your first tour is the East Coast of Canada, because it's a little bit farther from the rest of Canada, so there's a little bit more openings. And yeah, I was able to get this weekend to get these couple weekends. I went to Halifax, spent a week there, doing the weekend and then some bar shows, and then came to St. John.
Right. So how were the shows in Halifax? What did you do? You did the Yuck Yucks and
Yuck Yucks and some bar shows. Yucks is great. I mean, it was great. I got to open for Graham Kay, who's a Canadian headliner who now lives in New York. So we had that in common. It was good. I mean, I did come during a slower week, so some smaller crowds, but yeah, it's a great room. It's a good acoustics, and that they kind of got you in the corner in that room. So then, like, when you make, you feel like surrounded, and then when you make people laugh, you're kind of surrounded by laughter.
Yeah.
So it's really nice. And got to stay the Yucks is in, like, the Westin, which is kind of a fancy hotel in Halifax. So you're right. We were in, like, the suite in a hotel there, and we're right in the nice touristy part, you know, right near the water. It was really cool.
Yeah, no, I've spilled many words on my Halifax Yuck Yucks experience a couple
of
years ago, but so how was last night at Yuck Yucks in St. John?
Oh, it was good. Yeah, it's a little bit less like the fancy hotel room, a hotel like setup, and it's more like a beer garden kind of setup. People just chilling. It was good. Yeah, everyone had like popcorn and hot dogs, and it was really It was really just friendly. Yeah, people seem friendly. The way it is you think it's, if the crowd laughs at your jokes, you think they're a good crowd. So I was like, oh yeah, it's a good crowd. Yeah, because they liked me. Yeah,
yeah.
It's the same way. Yeah, a lot of men want. They say men want a woman with a sense of humor, but that just means laughs at my jokes. That's the thing they say, man.
Right. Yeah. So how did you? We had a pretty small audience at No Jokes Bar Deluxe last night, but how'd you enjoy that?
It was nice, and you were just like talk for as long as you want. So I just kept talking. That was really nice. And because in New York we're fighting for every minute of stage time. So it's usually like you show up and they're like, well, you have 7 minutes instead of eight.
Yeah.
And we'll give you a 1 minute light, and then you don't want to be the guy who blows the light. So then, yeah, you were like, oh, do around a half an hour. So I just kept talking. It was very, yeah.
Yeah, the light's not super enforced here anyway. With the headliner on those shows, I don't care anyway.
Oh, of course,
because,
yeah.
Like, well, if anybody's getting tired of it, they can leave, and that's the person on stage's problem if they're getting exhausting. there's a lot of people that, like, in the middle of a show they're supposed to do like 10 minutes and they do like 25, and it's kind of a pain.
Oh, man.
There was at my my open mic show, the regular non-deluxe version of No Jokes Barred, there's Ken Bolton, if you're listening, hello. He's an older guy on the scene, and he moved out to I forget where he's at now. I think he's in Ontario somewhere. I forget, but this was his last show in town, And it was like 10-minute spots, and there was 7 or 8 comedians, and he just went on and on and on for like 30 minutes at least, and just ignored the light. But he can get away with it because he's leaving and he's old.
Oh yeah,
don't want to punch him; he might break.
Definitely. Oh man, yeah. He's...
So where? What's your? Where would you put yourself kind of in the hierarchy in New York? Like what? How long have you been doing comedy?
I've been doing it 4 years. I'm still very much at the bottom. And New York's so tough. Until you've really been on TV, you're kind of at the bottom.
Have you always lived in New York, or did you move there?
Yeah, I was from New York.
Okay.
But then, if you're from New York, like when I started, it was more of a... I started... 4 years I've been doing it seriously. Before that, it was like a hobby. And it's easy to just kind of do it once in a while and think you do stand-up until you learn like how to do the open mics and go, you know, and do it every day. It can be kind of confusing. When you're from New York, it's also, you know, it's just, you're doing a lot of open, you're performing for comics a lot, and some of the open mics are really, really tough.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to find the ones you like and the way you're going to get better.
Well, how does, like, somebody in New York that decides they want to start doing stand-up, how does that work? Their open mics, I assume, are they just, a lot of, like, just show up and there's a sign-up sheet?
Yeah, show up, go up. It's a lot of lottery. We have so many people that we got to do lottery.
Right.
Most of the time. Because otherwise, there's also people who will show up an hour or two before the mic and get on a list. And then it, like, becomes this arm race of who can show up early enough. So we've done mostly lotteries. The thing with the lottery is then it comes from a bucket. The bucket can get rigged. So again, the newer people can end up getting towards the end.
Right.
So it can get very, then there, yeah, there's the lottery where the bucket's off stage. Then it's more likely to be rigged. And then there's the ones where they do it on stage. And that's better because you know at least it's a more fair lottery.
Right. Yeah, no, that must be tough. So when it's a lottery, do you even know how much time you're supposed to be doing, or does it depend on when you get drawn out or what?
There can be, if the person runs it bad, the people at the end have to do less time. But generally, you do. Mm-hmm. In Mike's in New York, F5 is on the higher end, if you're getting 5. Yeah. A lot of them are 3 and 4 minutes. There's a one venue called The Creek in the Cave where they'll let as many comics on as show up.
Right.
And oftentimes, like 60 comics will show up, so everyone will do like 2 minutes. But what's cool is it's since there's so many comics, it's like great for like networking and stuff. So people really like it there.
Yeah, yeah, that's different here. Like I'm not sure. I don't know if I would be doing comedy at all. If I was, it would probably be a different style. Just if I had to start out with like short, less than 5 minute long sets, I kind of did the opposite and. When I started, there wasn't any comedy going on here for the most part. So I would just go up on music open mics and they would give me like, they would give a band like enough time to play like 3 or 4 songs. So I'd just go up and ramble for like 20 minutes about whatever. And
that's so helpful. It's really good for you. Yeah.
Well, it could be bad too. Cause like it's not a bad thing to have to trim the fat because like I've got stuff that that I started doing in those days that were like 15, 20 minutes long now is like a solid 5 and I don't even remember what was missing from it.
Oh, yeah.
So even just for the sake of doing that for so long and then doing my first open mic at the Wilser's Room in Fredericton and having to like trim it down to 10 or 7 minutes... I had to make some decisions as to what's really necessary in this thing, and I think I got better as a comedian. But like right now, like I'm better at doing shorter stuff, especially just because I host. Well, I don't host the O'Leary's one every time, but I host my my open mic every time, and I can't. If I've got 8 people going up, I can't go up and tell like a 10-minute story every comic. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten better at identifying little things here or even just taking something that works out of context in a longer bit. But I'm not sure that it would work like the storytelling thing. Like I think, well, maybe you can tell me about this.
Oh yeah. So
like,
New York has
people start, does anybody, I've been told it's unusual that I started out storytelling. Most people start like straight up.
New York has a storytelling scene also,
right,
where you don't even have to be funny. So there's one people. Some people start out with that. Actually,
okay.
I have a good friend, Gaster Almonte. He started in the storytelling scene and has moved to doing both stand up and storytelling. And he got on. There's a Comedy Central show called This Is Not Happening, which is a storytelling show. He's been on a couple seasons of that.
Okay.
So that, yeah, that can help. So yeah, that's the good thing about New York is you can find what, if you want to just tell stories, you can do that. If you want to do 2 minute mics, you can. There's some mics that are, there's also some paid mics that where you definitely get 5 or even 7 minutes.
Right.
So you can kind of find, you can kind of find your scene. One thing, New York is probably the best, I would, and I haven't been to every city, but I would think it's the best city in the world for trimming the fat.
Yeah.
So that is the cool thing about New York.
Yeah, and I like doing that when I occasionally will go on vacation somewhere and have to just put myself in that. It's better now that I've got a collection of material, even if it is longer, I can go through. I'm sure I can pull together something that's the right amount of time, or I can trim it back if I have to, but to... I think it would be much more difficult to start out with 3 minutes and then build up to it. I'm better at just, especially at O'Leary's, where I can give myself, however, it's my show, so I can blow the light all I like.
Oh, yeah.
If something takes me 20 minutes to get through for the first time, like, I usually just will tell the story, and then I'll kind of watch back the footage or listen to the audio and find where the laughs happen and kind of trim it back as I go.
That's exactly,
I usually start out long, but... Yeah, I didn't know about the storytelling thing. Like, I've seen a lot of This Is Not Happening, but I was just not always clear as to how you start out like that.
There's even a Facebook group. Yeah, there's not as many. There's 10 or 20 open mics every day in New York.
Yeah.
There's storytelling. There's maybe one a day or something like that. But there's a Facebook group for it. Also, it's more supportive. People are nicer. People actually listen.
Yeah.
I haven't gone to that many. Supposedly, the people even hug each other at the end. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds
a comedy open mic at the end. Most of the comics already left.
Yeah.
So it's like you perform for like the last like three people.
Yeah, I found that especially when I went to Portland a few years ago. Like here at our open mics, we're a pretty close knit community. There's lots of infighting and beefs going on.
Oh, sure.
But we're still generally pretty supportive. When you're at a show, most of the time, unless somebody's like really frazzled and trying to figure out their set before they go on, we all kind of watch each other and we go to other people's shows. And when we're on a mic, we're generally there to watch the shows, because in this town, like, the best comedy fans are the comedians, because that's what we're into. Not always the best laughers, but we watch each other. But when I was in Portland, it was just kind of people went up and nobody was even looking at the stage, and they went up and did their time and then they left and on to the next thing.
Is there any chance that the backpack has caught up in these beefs, that someone in the other side of a beef has taken the backpack?
Could be. I all of the current beefs that I have are kind of on a low simmer in the
nice oh okay, but, is that yeah do not yeah if anyone takes my backpack, there will be such a beef. I will make a Taken style speech about the backpack.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm glad this isn't being released till I leave town, because I'm worried now that I'm putting a target on my backpack.
Oh yeah, people are gonna be all in the Facebook comments on this thing. Who do you want to talk shit about?
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. Do you want to set up the song that you?
Oh yeah. So this is there's a play called it is weird because this is a play about American history. Well, Alexander Hamilton was George Washington's right hand guy. And he's and there's this play where it's basically like a rap opera almost play. It's one of the hit plays on Broadway. It won all the Tonys in like 2015. But basically, the entire play is a love letter to workaholism, just working working way too much. And that's really what New York is just people working really hard. So this is a play about how hard this is a song about how hard Hamilton worked.
Yeah, well, Hamilton, it's like well known. Especially just we watch a lot of American TV here, so it's a reference. And I saw Lin-Manuel Miranda on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, that was yeah.
But stuff like that, like Broadway shows, we just have they never put out like the Blu-ray of it, so there's really no way for us to see that kind of thing. So we hear about like Hamilton is the amazing thing, like Book of Mormon. I've always wanted to see
that. I've actually seen.
I want to see like the Monty Python Spamalot show. But
you got to make a trip to New York. You're gonna do storytelling. You're gonna see these. I mean, if you want to see Broadway plays, bring a few hundred American dollars, which I think is several thousand Canadian dollars. Yeah. The thing is, if you have Spotify, the Hamilton soundtrack's on that. I've never seen the play because the play is $400 a ticket or something. Mm-hmm. The soundtrack, once you get used to it, it is amazing. I actually cried the third time I listened to it.
Yeah.
So I was so moved by the end. Spoiler, he dies. He gets killed in a duel. And I was crying like on the subway, in like a dirty subway station about it. Yeah. So it is kind of a this play is kind of a love letter to New York. He was a New Yorker most of his life.
Yeah.
And we're also to Working Hard. So this is like, and that's what this song is kind of about.
Yeah, the only song I'd heard was I'm not gonna give up my shot.
Yeah, I'm not throwing away my shot. Yeah, that is it. So this is not one of the more famous notes. I hope it works without the context of the play, but you just know Hamilton will be working really hard, and they talk about how he has to write like he's running out of time because he did die young. So that's, and it is the play is a tragedy.
So what, it was 107?
107.3, local okay. FM.
This is John Scove Nielsen, and you're listening to the St. John Forward Radio on 107.3 FM.
Close enough.
It's too much information.
After the war, I went back to New York. After the war, I went back to New York. I finished up my studies and I practiced law. I practiced law. Burr worked next door. Even though we started at the very same time, Alexander Hamilton began to climb. How to account for his rise to the top? Man, the man is nonstop. Gentlemen of the jury, I'm curious. Bear with me. Are you aware that we're making history? This is the first murder trial of our brand new nation. The liberty behind a liberation. I intend to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt with my assistant. Counsel.
Co-counsel Hamilton, sit down. A client, Lemmy Weeks, is innocent. Call your first witness. That's all you had to say.
Okay, one more thing.
Why do you assume you're the smartest in the room? Why do you assume you're the smartest in the room? Why do you assume you're the smartest in the room? Soon that attitude may be your doom.
Why do you write like you're running out of time?
Write day and night like you're running out of time.
Every day you fight like you're running out of time.
Keep on fighting in the meantime.
Non-stop.
Corruption's such an old song that we can sing along in harmony. And nowhere is it stronger than in Albany. These colonies, economies, increasingly stalling. And honestly, that's why public service just seems to be calling me. I practice the law, practically perfected it. I've seen injustice in the world and I've corrected it. Now for a strong central democracy. If not, then I'll be Socrates throwing verbal rocks at these mediocrities.
Hamilton at the Constitutional Convention.
I was chosen for the Constitutional Convention.
There is a New York junior delegate.
Now what I'm gonna say may sound indelicate.
Chosen proposes his own form of government.
What?
His own plan for a new form of government.
What?
Talks for 6 hours. The convention is listless.
Bright young man.
Yo, who the F is this?
Why do you always say what you believe?
Why do you always say what you believe?
Every proclamation guarantees free ammunition for your enemies.
Why do you write like it's going out of style? Write day and night like it's going out of style. Every day you fight like it's going out of style. Do what you do.
Alexander?
Aaron Burr, sir.
Well, it's the middle of the night.
Can we confer, sir?
Is this a legal matter?
Yes, and it's important to me.
What do you need?
Burr, you're a better lawyer than me.
Okay.
I know I talk too much. I'm abrasive. You're incredible in court. You're succinct, persuasive. My client needs a strong defense. You're the solution.
Who's your client?
The new U.S. Constitution?
No.
Hear me out.
No way.
A series of essays anonymously published defending the document to the public.
No one will read it.
I disagree.
And if it fails?
Burr, that's why we need it.
The Constitution's a mess.
So it needs amendments?
It's full of contradictions.
So is independence. We have to start somewhere.
No. No way.
You're making a mistake.
Good night.
Hey, what are you waiting for? What do you stall for?
What?
We won the war. What was it all for? Do you support this Constitution?
Of course.
Then defend it.
And what if you're backing the wrong horse?
Burr, we studied and we fought and we killed for the notion of a nation we now get to build. For once in your life, take a stand with pride. I don't understand how you stand to the side.
I'll keep all my plans close to my chest. I'll wait here and see which way the wind will blow.
I'm taking my time watching the afterbirth of a nation, watching the tension grow.
I am sailing off to London. I am accompanied by someone who always pays. I have found a wealthy husband who will keep me in comfort for all my days. He is not a lot of fun, but there's no one who can match you for turn of phrase. My Alexander, don't forget to ride. Peace of mind. Would that be enough?
Alexander joins forces with James Madison and John Jay to write a series of essays defending the new United States Constitution entitled The Federalist Papers. The plan was to write a total of 25 essays, the work divided evenly among the three men. In the end, they wrote 85 essays in the span of 6 months. John Jay got sick after writing 5. James Madison wrote 29. Hamilton wrote the other 51. How do you write like you're running out of time? Write day and night like you're running out of time. Every day you fight like you're running out of time. Like you're running out of time. Are you running out of time? How do you write like tomorrow won't arrive? How do you write like you needed to survive? How do you write every second you're alive? Every second you're alive. Every second you're alive. They're asking me to lead. I'm doing the best I can to get the people that I need. I'm asking you to be my right hand,
Treasury
man.
Or state.
I know it's a lot to
Treasury
ask
or state.
To leave behind the world you know.
Sir, do you want me to run the Treasury or State Department?
Treasury.
Let's go.
Alexander.
I have to leave.
Alexander.
Look around, look around at how lucky we are to be alive right now.
Helpless.
They are asking me to leave.
Look around, isn't this enough? He will never be satisfied. He will never be satisfied.
History has
we're back on St. John Forward Radio, not throwing away our shot at a great radio show that you're listening
Hell
to
yeah.
right now, here with Freddie G. So you're on a bit of a tour, which I haven't done. I do stuff around New Brunswick a little bit, and I've occasionally gone down to Halifax for a week, and if I'm going on vacation to, like, one particular city, I'll see what's going on in town, but I've never, like, lined up a tour. How does somebody go about putting something like that together? And
I just feel so lucky because there's not a lot of New York comics coming to the East Coast of Canada, and I'm really happy to be one of the first ones, other than like people who are originally from Canada.
Yeah, most of the time, anything. It's the same with bands. Nobody comes further east than like Montreal.
Well, I mean, they should, because it's just great. It's beautiful.
Seinfeld's coming in October, but like Jim Jefferies was here a little while ago, but for the most part, it's pretty dire.
So yeah, a lot of like, and the big comic was Michael Harrison. I forgot. Do you know who he is?
No.
Okay, he's a Canadian comic. He's done a half an hour on CBC. Am I right with the distance from the?
Yeah, I'll adjust.
Oh, nice. Okay, he's done a lot on. He did a half an hour on CBC, and then he moved to America recently. Actually, so his first night in America, we were at one of, like, the low-end clubs, and I was doing, like, the 1 a.m. spot on, like, a Tuesday, and then he went on before me, and then he's like, my place, because he hadn't gotten a place in New York yet, my place fell through, is there anyone I can stay at your place? And, like, there's a thing in your head, I feel like, where you can tell if someone's shady, and I'm like, he doesn't seem shady, this will somehow be a nice thing to do, I bet my wife will let him sleep on the couch. So I let him sleep on my couch the first night I met him, and then we've just been friends since. And then at some point, I met a guy in Edmonton from Edmonton, in Queens one time, and he convinced me to go to Edmonton, and I went and did all the bar shows there. And then I kind of just kept talking to him. I'm like, Mike, I really like going to Canada. It's really good, you know, getting able to get a little bit more stage time and paid work there than in other places in America, because at a lot of U.S. clubs, if you haven't been on TV, they might not really respond to your email.
Yeah.
And believe me, I'm trying. So, yeah. So Mike was like, well, you know, like, you know, Yucks is an awesome chain. And then you can, you know, like the East Coast of Canada, it's kind of far from the rest of Canada. So if you're interested in going there, you could probably get some work there. And it ended up working out. I got to go to Halifax and then St. John.
Well, yeah, I think this would be a good place for people to come tour, because we're kind of beat up on ourselves, and just everything that's from not here is great. So people get really excited about it. The same, like, comedy's been going on in this city for years now, but it wasn't until, like, national chain Yuck Yucks is here now. Yeah. So we've landed, or we've got a guy in town named James Mullinger who moved here from London, and that's a big thing. And he does the fish out of water stuff and all that. Everybody, everybody loves an accent. But yeah, not a lot of people come through. We get, do you know a guy named Mike Dambra? He comes through here he's from New York. He's living in Edmonton now, I think.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, he does pretty much all crowd work, and he's kind of a crowd favorite at Chuckles, which is kind of the, they put on like a Friday, Saturday, one weekend a month pro show like Yuck Yucks, but it's an independent club.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
So, yeah, he comes through and he usually fills up that.
I was hearing, I heard it. The thing is, yeah, when you can crush with crowd work, it's a different kind of, because it feels like you're in the moment in a way that maybe material doesn't, and you can just kill so hard with crowd work. I have seen, yeah, I opened for a headliner in Hartford, Connecticut, and he did material that killed, but he always ended with crowd work.
Yeah.
And because he knew he would just destroy the entire room, and then he would mention his CD, and he would sell dozens of CDs. And I think he just realized that, yeah, there's a level of killing you can do with crowd work that maybe you can't even do with material.
Yeah, it feels more in the moment, and it's obviously less rehearsed, which you're supposed to sound like you're kind of making it up on the spot anyway, even when you're doing material. But that's a different thing. It's something that I think when I commit to it, I can usually do well. It's hard to do it at a show like last night where there's like eight people there and I know them all. It's hard work there.
No, that's the only, yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. No, then you're better off, yeah. Also, yeah. If they know you, they want to hear your stuff.
Right.
Some of this crowd work I'll do because the crowd needs things to feel more personal.
Yeah.
So I try to kind of bring them in and show like I'm a nice guy and like I can be, sometimes it's also if it feels like you did it on the spot, then they know you're like, they actually think you're a funny person and then they're willing to listen to your like pre-prepared stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's something I think is a better go-to for me. Like, if the audience doesn't like my prepared material, I think I'm probably a bit more likable if I'm just doing crowd work. So I've tried it every now and then to varying degrees of success, but I usually, the first time, like, there's an awkward pause, I just bail on it and go back into the material. Yeah. Yeah, I'd find, especially if I got longer stuff and I've got a 10-minute spot, like, I'm worried that if I do, like, even 1 minute too long of crowd work, then I'm not going to be able to finish story. So, do you do much crowd work?
I'll do a good amount. I like doing it, so I always want to do it, but then I've kind of learned a lot, especially if you're, like, as a feature, they don't want you to get the crowd talking.
Yeah.
So, sometimes it's a feature, and it can be very presentational, some of the setups of the clubs, especially like out of New York, where they really want to just hear you tell jokes.
Yeah.
So I've been doing less of it, and I've been kind of getting used to doing 20 minutes and only do crowd work for like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
When I'm like in Astoria and it's like, I'm like running the show, whatever, I'm very comfortable. I'll do more. I'll kind of just like screw around with the crowd.
Yeah.
More. One thing with crowd work, like, people have told me to then have a prepared joke to come out of the crowd work with, but then I'll forget. I'll ask a question and not have that, and it'll be an awkward thing. One thing is, my style is awkward. My setup would be what you described me as, like, awkward, self-deprecating Jew redhead. Mm-hmm. So like, if something awkward happens, I can play that into the act because I'm supposed to be awkward, so it's okay.
Yeah. Anybody listening that all you can hear is like the tough guy New York accent. The picture, if you look him up, is probably not going to match up with your voice.
Do I sound tough? I have a not only New York accent, because I have a Brooklyn, Queens accent. My parents are from the boroughs. People from Manhattan have a more worldly accent.
Like, it's not like super strong, like cartoon New York accent, but it's noticeable. Do we have like a maritime Canadian accent?
That you definitely have a Canadian. You say a boot sometimes instead of about. Not quite that strongly, but yeah. People say a. The one thing is, the Canadian accent is great. I don't know if it's different between maritime and other parts, even though I have been to the other parts. But
I think there's certain word, there's certain like expressions that we use more. The Newfoundland accent is way different than everywhere else.
Oh, that I noticed. Yeah, I got to hang out with a Shannon. Oh man, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Shannon Hell's Basement. I got the his accent's very distinctive. Yeah. The thing is, the more thick the Canadian accent someone has, the nicer they probably are.
Yeah.
So that's just great. I'm just happy to be around nice people because New York, not that people you talk to or spend time with are jerks, but just we're all kind of jerks to each other on the subway. Mm-hmm. And that's how we get around. So then you're just dealing with jerky behavior constantly. So it's just nice to be in a friendly place.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're on the road. What's that kind of like? Generally, I don't do it. Like I said, if I'm going somewhere anyway, I'm in a hotel or an Airbnb and I check it out. But I've never kind of had a sustained thing.
So. This is one of my the first time I kind of put back-to-back paid weekends together, and it's really like being in college. Like you're in kind of a dorm setup. You're with other people who are kind of like in that setup, and it's just like drinking till late. And it feels very communal and nice, but then I did screw up. So I was opening for Graham K in Halifax, and he went to college in Halifax. Mm-hmm. So we would just hang out like he was still in college, and we stayed out till 6 a.m. one night, not even doing anything crazy at his married cousin's apartment, just hanging and having a couple beers. But it was just I became like nocturnal again, and it was really weird. And also, using like comedy condos and stuff like that. The interesting thing is, Airbnbs, everything's very modern. And one condo I've been in, they had instead of a non-stick pan to make my eggs, they had a stick pan. And like I put in like three eggs and then only one egg came out.
Yeah. So you're married too. How's it being away from the wife? Is it a relief to get rid of the old ball and chain for a little while?
People say that, but they're probably married to the wrong person.
Yeah.
I'm very lonely, and I would be having more fun if she was here. I mean the dorm, some of the style, like it is kind of nice to be in a house. I would say that seems mean though, because I'm like it's kind of cool in the condos to be with old dudes, but then I'm like that doesn't. There are obviously it'd be cool if there were women booked on the shows, that would be, but it is kind of nice, to be in the condo like that. But she would just have a lot of fun. She would also love the Maritime.
Right.
She hadn't heard of the word Maritime yet. I'm going to teach it to her though. Mm. And she just, it's beautiful places and nice and chill. So she would be having a great time, and I hope to bring her back on a future trip.
Yeah, when I'm going to Montreal in a couple of weeks, I'm going by myself, so I'll probably get homesick. Yeah. I remember years ago, I went on a trip to Vegas with some friends, but without my wife, and that was the first time that we had kind of been apart more than a couple of days, and I got super homesick. I cried a little bit.
Sweet. One thing is, those cities, at least known for good strip clubs, that is the one thing you want to do without the wife. That is one thing I've had. The people in the Maritime, you guys need some good strip clubs.
We've got them. We've got one in town called Blush.
I've heard bad things about the Maritime strip clubs. I've heard they're people like kind of half-assed or whatever.
Well, it's kind of sketchy. Usually, like, 2 out of the 10 girls are genuinely attractive, and then there's a few, like, okay ones, and some of them are just nasty.
That is.
The difference in, I don't know if you've been to a Canadian strip club, and I'm not even sure if this is just
I've East been Coast to Montreal. Thing. My bachelor party was in Montreal.
Are you allowed to touch strippers in Montreal?
Yeah. Oh, they, at first, I'm, like, bashful.
Yeah.
So, like, at first, I wasn't touching, and she was like, you gotta touch.
Yeah.
And it was my bachelor party, so I obliged. I think here, the thing for, to get New Yorkers to come, and I think initially they'd just be coming to Halifax, it's a little bit bigger than St. John, is we need a direct flight from New York to Halifax, because it would be like less than 2 hours. Going through Toronto makes it take twice as long. And we need a high quality strip club.
Yeah,
in Halifax. This is the two things.
I've never been to one in Halifax. There's one in Moncton that I've heard about called Angie's, but I've heard that it's like really classy, and I've also heard it's really sketchy.
I heard both things, and
but in St. John, like a $20 lap dance, you get your full grope on. If you get a second song, depending on the girl and if she likes you, like the last time I was there, I got 2 songs in a row, and like the bottoms were completely off, and she's just rubbing herself in front of me, and
it's amazing,
grabbing a handful. It's funny when comics around here talk, they do bits about going to the strip club and about like not been able to touch the girls. I'm like, you obviously have not actually been to a strip club. You just watch a lot of American TV.
That is fun. Oh my God. That's a good point. But yeah, so that's that. And yeah, now and with the exchange rate, $20 Canadian, that's like a $13 American dollar Latin. Yeah. Because in New York, I think a lot. Oh no, I think it, I can't. In New York, a Latin might be 30.
Wow.
So, yeah, this would be, yeah, I really think, yeah, Halifax needs to just rebrand itself as, because it's reminded me of New Orleans because of the music, but New Orleans is very big on the strip clubs.
Yeah. There used to be more of a music scene in St. John, but it's kind of died off over the years. When I was in university, there was, like, rock shows going on every weekend and all that stuff, but now the only music seems to be, like, cover bands and just like a solo acoustic guy that they'll throw in the corner at a restaurant or something. Oh, there isn't a lot of bands with a following. There's a few like jam bands where people just want to go out and do ecstasy and dance and stuff like that, which is fine, but not as much of a music scene. When I was in university, there was bands that I genuinely liked.
That's
and
so
I would
cool.
buy their albums. There's a few there's a comedian, named Rudy. He's been on the show a few times. He's got a punk band called the Kill Devils that I really like, and they play around town. But other than that, that's the only band that I can think of that like I know them and I'll go see them. I think most of the musicians in St. John they start out here, and a lot of them go to Halifax or elsewhere.
That can make sense. And yeah, St. John. I spent a week in Halifax and only a couple days so far in St. John. So I'm talking a little more Halifax specific. But yeah, no. Is there a rivalry?
There's a little bit, I find, the Halifax, cause they've had a Yuk Yuks for years. And I feel like they think like they're the dads of the maritime comedy scene. So there's been a little bit of shade thrown our way. Like New Brunswick's a little uppity and they talk about, oh, we see who's headlining up there and we roll our eyes. So I think there's a contingent where there's a few people where they see like us in New Brunswick, somebody like I did a headline gig at a hotel like years ago that I was not ready for. And there was a bit of shade that came from Halifax, just like, oh, what are you doing putting John Forward as the headliner on the show? So, but it is what it is. I think a little bit of it is jealousy. I think like our best people stand toe to toe with their best people. I'm not saying anybody's better than anybody else, but compared to that, there's an open mic almost every night of the week in Halifax, and compared to the amount of stage time that we get here, I think we're doing pretty good. And if we had as many shows consistently and had that much stage time as the Halifax people, I think that we would be way past them. But
that makes sense. We'll keep well now the gauntlet's thrown down.
Yeah, that's right, Halifax. Beef.
Oh man, yeah.
We like like everybody gets along individually. There's a few people that are more dramatic than others, but I like everybody in Halifax has always been nice to me. But there's a little bit of internet shade and a little like online eye rolling that happens. But,
oh yeah, we have New York. Yeah, there's just so many scenes, and everyone's post does Facebook posts about what they think comedy is, and we're all
And there's lots of, you shouldn't be calling yourself a comedian until you've done this, and this.
Oh, God, yeah.
So anyway, we're almost to the end. You've got a couple of podcasts of your own. Do you want to tell us?
Yeah, I have a Model in the Mensch. It's like a morning radio style, like, comedy podcast. We have comedians, and we don't really talk about comedy, but it's me, a Nebushi Jew, who's in his 30s and married, paired with a 6'6" guy who's good-looking enough to model, and is single in his 20s, and, yeah. And we have a lot in common, but we're very different people, so it's kind of that dynamic. Mm-hmm. We've recently been getting a lot of emails from kind of crazy guys, so we're building a kind of a weird rabid fan base, and we've been talking about that a lot on the air. And then also, just we have a lot of awesome New York comics. We've had many Canadian headliners actually on older episodes. We've had Emmanuel Husseini, Jess Solomon, Michael Harrison, and Alex Pavone. You know Alex Pavone?
The name sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's wrong with the comedy scene in this country. Like, nobody knows anybody.
Nobody knows, yeah.
Unless you're on TV, nobody knows
your name. And probably, I bet we'll have Graham Kay on soon. Who's headlined the St. Job Club. He probably headlines it. Well, I would say once a year, but I know it hasn't been around that long, but he's definitely headlined the St. John Club before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you like, hearing Canadian comics get interviewed by a Jew.
If I'm ever in town, I'll hit you up.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Oh man, yeah. We'll have a good time in New York.
Sure.
And then the other one's called The Love Gurus. It's comedians making fun of the crazy dating advice questions people ask on the internet, specifically Yahoo Answers. So people are just desperate for advice, and they're usually pretty. You know, they're usually kind of crazy. And we just make fun of it. They don't know that we're giving them advice, so right. we just use it as an excuse to make fun of it.
Sure.
And it's one of the funnier podcasts I've been a part of. I got two other New York comics on, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's a guy in Montreal that runs a variety show called Voix de Ville. His name's Paul Ash. He actually does a character called he kind of does like the Doctor Strangelove type voice to it, and the show that he does, I'm going to do it when I'm in Montreal, is kind of a mix of, there's usually a couple of comics and there's a bunch of like burlesque dancers and
perfect.
There's some music stuff. And I don't know if he's still doing it or not, but last time I was up there halfway through the show, he does his love guru thing. And at the beginning, he gets people to write like questions down and he answers them on stage.
Does he call it love guru?
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh God. You think we rip off a name from an unsuccessful Mike Myers movie. You didn't think anyone else would be doing it. Yeah.
Well, there's another beef that we're getting started.
Oh God! Oh no! I mean, he has as much a right to that not.
Yeah, no, it's what you do with it. It's just it's not like anybody invented the term love guru.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Patent on it.
Mike Myers would like to take credit, or he'd like to forget. So
yeah, but I've next week or either last week, depending on when I put this out. I'm going to have an interesting guest. Somebody just phoned in randomly. They must have been going through a list of phone numbers for radio stations trying to set this up. There's some like spiritualist woman that wants to come on the show to talk about like whatever mind power she has to like remove people's pains and their anxieties.
That's so cool.
And stuff. And so that's going to be interesting. I'm going to do that live on the phone on July 16th, whenever that happens to
my
be
buddy
relative to this.
Works on the boards at SiriusXM, and he says one of the most popular shows is The Pet Psychic.
Yeah.
They will tell you how your dead pets are doing, and people cannot get enough of that stuff.
Yeah. So where are you headed from St. John? You going back home?
I'm gonna be heading back home. I'm going to Boston for a wedding. You can't come to the wedding, but I will be. If you're in the Boston area, I will be doing a couple bar shows, including the Hideout on July 13th. And then I'm definitely hoping for more trips to Canada. If you follow me on Instagram or Twitter at @OrangeFreddyG, and that's Freddy with a Y. I'll be posting stuff. I definitely hope to be coming back to Canada more, but nothing on the books yet.
Yeah, well, you should get in touch with the Chuckles Comedy Club in town. They'll probably put you on for a weekend if the timing comes out. If you want to try, it's different kind of thing than Yuck Yucks, but it's a good show.
Oh, I'm always, if there's an audience, I'm there. So yeah.
Yeah, so where do people, just the usual spots for your podcast, or do you have a website or anything you want to plug?
I would say podcast more look towards Apple Podcasts. Model in the Mench is also on Spotify, Libs in SoundCloud. I think Love Gurus is probably on SoundCloud as well.
All right. Well, I think if I do sit on this for a couple of weeks, No Jokes Barred at the R Bar had just happened without me. I'm sure Arif Hussein did a fine job hosting, but not, that's coming up on whatever the third Saturday of the month is. It's the 20th or the 21st of July. It's the 21st. And then again, the usual next month, August 3rd, first Friday of the month, No Jokes Barred Deluxe at O'Leary's. And then August 18th, back at the R Bar. This has been St. John Forward Radio. I'm John Forward, and I've been here with Freddie G. Thanks for stopping by. And I guess we'll I'll throw the outro song in, unless you got anything else you want to add.
Oh, so happy to be here, and thanks for everyone in St. John for all the hospitality. You've been an awesome city.
All right, thank you. That's the show.